are listening to The Activity Pod with Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, where we help you stay focused so you can get stuff done. In today's show, episode 18, we interview Fiona Redding. Fiona runs a fabulous business called The Happiness Hunter, and she is also one half of the Business Addicts podcast. One of the things we talk to Fiona about is the benefit of meditation. She gives me homework to start meditating, which was a bit cheeky, but I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I haven't actually started yet. So if you have some great meditation stories or some tips and advice to encourage me along, please let me know. You can reach me on Twitter at The Activity Pod or also on Twitter at Mel Kettle. You can find this episode at theactivitypod.com/18. That's number 18. And if you enjoyed listening to our show, please let us know and also please tell your friends. Thanks very much for listening. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Activity Pod, where your hosts, Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, talk accountability and focus on helping you get stuff done so you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want to from life. And now, here are your hosts, Annette and Mel.
Today's guest is Fiona Redding, and she's a life and business strategist, mindset mentor, speaker at The Happiness Hunter, and co-hosts The Business Addicts, the podcast. She's a holistic visionary. Her gift is to get to the beating heart of her clients' life purpose and business strategy. Fiona helps set the direction and map out the steps needed to help her clients achieve their goals, whilst empowering them with tools and mindset shifts required to live an abundant, successful and happy life with passion, joy and meaning. Fiona lives in Melbourne, Australia with her two children. So welcome, Fiona.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's great to have you here.
Very exciting to be here, and it's very awesome that you girls are doing this.
I just want to tell our listeners, we met, Annette and I both met you at ProBlogger this year in September for the first time, and we had both been listening to your podcast for quite some time prior to that. And there were three people I really desperately wanted to meet at ProBlogger, and you were one of them.
Oh, awesome. That was awesome. No, it was really nice to catch up with you there and then to see what you've achieved since then too. Very great.
But it was also, and we said this to Lauren when we recorded her last week, that it was really your podcast that helped push us off our chairs and to get into the podcast recording mindset
for
as well.
For sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. You'll never look back.
I'll remember that at 3 a.m. when I'm editing.
Exactly, editing.
I'm alive in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Or like this morning when I woke up, I was awake at 4:30 and at about 5 a.m. I thought, oh, I haven't done Fiona's notes yet.
Well, you know, there's nothing like a deadline to get stuff done.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the first thing we want to know is how you fit everything in.
How do I fit everything in? I've got pretty clear direction. I've got pretty clear idea about what I want for my life and how I want to live my life. Mm-hmm. And so I know what I want to do and I know what I need to do, and I just find the way to do what's important, I suppose, in any given day.
Mm-hmm. So how do you determine that?
Well, I've got my sort of things that I need to do to keep Fiona functioning well, you know, and so that includes meditation, exercise, sometimes if I'm organized enough, meal preparation, just getting clear about what I want to achieve that day. So I've got big vision, I've got my broader strategy, I've got big goals that I'm heading towards, but I just have little bits of action that I need to take in any given day to get me a step closer to where I'm going. And I'm very forgiving of myself if I don't get things done.
I think that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, because I've made a different choice, like, so I make the right choice in that moment for what I need to be doing in that day, if that makes sense. So it's a very fluid decision-making process.
I always get really frustrated when people say, you're at this point in your life, do you regret anything that you've done until now, or do you wish you'd made any decisions differently? And I just think, how can you say that? Because if I had done things differently, then I wouldn't be where I am today.
That's exactly right. And how could where you are be now is a bad thing. Like, exactly. It's perfect where you are. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And I also believe in owning your decisions. Yep. And everybody makes really crappy decisions at some stage in their life, and that's just part of life. But if you own it and go, well, it felt like the right decision at the time for me, or I felt like I was making a mistake at the time, but I did it anyway, and then just move on, you know, do what you need to do to make it a better outcome.
Yeah, totally. And I think also too, the great thing about making decisions that, you know, in retrospect aren't right, or even at the time, you know, aren't quite right, they give you the kind of contrast. So you go, well, hang on, I don't like feeling like this. So what could I do differently next time to not have that happen to me?
Exactly. And I remember I've got a couple of friends who said to me, I knew I was making a mistake when I walked down the aisle on the day of my wedding.
Yeah.
Two of my close friends have said that to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you did anyway. Mm-hmm. And they said, yes, because I didn't know how to walk or turn around and walk out.
Yeah.
And one of them said, but how can I regret that, because I have my two beautiful children and I wouldn't have them otherwise. Yeah. And the other one said, yes, it was a mistake, but we both made the best of it and now we're really good friends.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that friendship would have happened had I turned around and walked out.
Well, that's the thing, but I think there's a bigger thing here at play, and this is something that I've really been really reflecting on over the last 6 to 12 months, you know, when we choose not to listen to our inner guidance system, you know, because it never lies, but we need to trust it and we need to know that it's telling us the truth and that we need to, you know, find the way to be brave and take action on that guidance, you know, so that we don't allow those decisions, which we actually fundamentally at our core know aren't the right decisions for us to be making. We don't make them, you know, we actually are able to make a different decision that may be difficult at the time, but not as difficult as going through with the wrong decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. And do you find that meditation helps you with that process?
Meditation has changed my life, like without a shadow of a doubt. And it's the first thing that whenever I'm working with anyone, I really strongly suggest they do is to start meditating, because what it does, it stops the nonsense in your head and it really lets you tap into, you know, that core and your inner guidance system that is, you know, really helping you guide you through your life.
Absolutely.
So, do you meditate, Annette?
I do.
So I don't. And I've tried.
Oh, get on it.
I've tried often and I either fall asleep within about 30 seconds because I'm exhausted, or if I try in the morning, I just can't turn my brain down to stop thinking about all the things I have to do in the day. So can you give me a few tips?
Yeah, so the thing is with meditation, like anything, it's a practice. You know, like we are so conditioned, like we're so used to just thinking all the time. And we've got, I mean, I don't even know, like there's, you know, scientific studies have been done on this, like how many thoughts we have in a second, and it's like thousands of thoughts. It's not just like this one thing that you think going on, because it's going on at a multitude of levels. So the thing is, you know, that's how we operate. We operate from our head, you know, from our ego. What meditation helps us do is move outside of our head and our ego and into our heart, but we have to learn how to do that, and to do that we need to practice. So it's just about bringing in a regular practice. You know, in the morning is a great time to do it because you don't fall asleep sitting up, so your body's a little bit uncomfortable, you know, so you can't fall asleep, and catching yourself, just being mindful of the thoughts that are going through your head and accepting that, like meditation is just about acceptance, like where you are now with what the thoughts you've got going on, and just learning to kind of let them go by without having any attachment to them. You know, oh, I've got to do this today. I'm just going to let that go. This is not my time to think about that. I'll think about that in 5 minutes' time when I finish my meditation. So you just can start to learn to be very present in your body with your breath and where you are now, and you don't let anything external to where that present moment come in. And it's a practice. And you say, okay, every day at 6:30 a.m. or 7 a.m. I'm going to spend 5 minutes. I'm going to go and sit in the same place every day. I'm going to do it at the same time every day, and I'm just going to sit there. And if I can't cross my legs, I'm just going to have my legs out. You know, just find a way to do it. But you have to commit to yourself to do it, because honestly, if we're not, it's particularly for those of us in business, you know, we need to be taking some time out, because we're burning out and we're missing a lot of inspiration and we're missing a lot of the internal guidance that we're getting about what we need to be doing.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that helped me with meditation was I'm quite a visual person, so I can actually visualise sort of dropping out of my head down into my down into my centre and then out into, you know, the field, whatever you want
to call it. The universe, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't actually matter. Yeah.
And then just be.
Just be there.
Yeah.
Whereas, be however there. You are. Yeah. Because what it does, it just kind of centres you and grounds you and gives you a foundation, a calm foundation from which to move forward into your day, you know, and because if you're not giving yourself that, you're starting, you know, with high anxiety at the start of the day.
For
so
sure.
Do you listen to music while you meditate, or do you have any, do you set a timer, or like how do you know when to stop?
So
when you really don't have any idea.
No, it's just your own practice. So when I first started, I actually just started with guided meditations, and I would listen to them in bed when I was going to sleep at night because I stopped drinking, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later. So I had to find a way to get to sleep without alcohol. And so I listened to guided apps, and I did that for a long time, and I don't really listen to guided apps anymore because my practice has got to a point where I actually prefer just silence. But you can do whatever you want. You can listen to a guided thing. I mean, it's preferably, obviously, you're just at one with yourself and your breath, you know, but you can just do a breathing meditation, or you can set a timer for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. The most important thing is with meditation is that it's consistent and you do it's a daily practice. So it just do 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes and see how you go, but just do it every day. And even though you think you can't do it, everyone can meditate, Mel. Every single person on this planet can meditate.
So now I feel like I have some homework. I'll report back.
Yeah, please do, because honestly, I can't tell you. Meditation will transform your life.
It really does change your life. Okay. I remember listening to the great Wayne Dyer, and he was saying that, you know, he gave his mate Deepak Chopra, would you mind, a buzz about, you know, problems in his life and so on and so forth, and Deepak just kept saying, meditate.
But that's like even with the happiness hunter walks. I mean, that's kind of like a walking meditation. Yes, honestly, like anybody keeps coming back to me week after week. I'm saying, I'm not talking to you until you start meditating, because it's like talking to a brick wall. You know, just meditate and meditate. You need to meditate. I can tell you everything, but you need to tap into your own knowledge, your own infinite source of wisdom. You know, like, you need to go in for the answers you're seeking. Nobody can actually give them to you. And that's what meditation gives you. It gives you the ability to go in and listen, really listen to the universe through your heart, you know.
So I just want to set a challenge for our listeners. If any other listeners are like me and don't meditate, can you give it a go as well and let me know how you go?
Yeah. And, like I'm happy to, but just, and, you know, actually when you mentioned Deepak, that reminded me, Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey do this fantastic 21-day meditation series. I would really recommend any of your listeners getting onto that, downloading it. I'm not sure. They do the free challenge every now and again, and then it becomes a paid product. But it was amazing. I did one, actually, and it really helped me. It was probably two and a half years ago I did it, and it was the first time I managed to get into the gap, which is actually where you sink into the gap between your thoughts, you know, and nothing exists. And that was the first time I ever did that, and so I'm exceptionally grateful to both Deepak and Oprah for giving me that gift, you know.
So I have a confession. I'm pretty sure I downloaded one of their free 21-day trials about 3 years ago, and I think I listened to half an episode and went, can't do it.
No, but that's your ego talking, right? That's your ego, because your ego doesn't want you to – your ego doesn't want to get you out of your head, because your ego is trying to control the game, right?
That's
so you
true.
Need to find a way to override the ego and say, I'm not listening to you anymore, because you're full of
crap. I'm in charge. Okay. I'm in charge.
Yeah.
I'll see if I still have it and I'll try again.
Yes, go for it, Mel, and report back.
I will in 21 days back in a week.
Preparing your flowing dress and your, you know, flowers in your hair and then don't eat meat anymore. Because this is part of the problem, I think, as well. People think meditation is this bloody hippie thing, and it's not. It's actually something, especially those of us in business, and if you actually look at all the really successful people in business,
they
are all meditating.
I'm just thinking back to guests who we've recorded to date, and the vast majority meditate. The vast majority haven't given such a
in-depth
clear or in-depth description or reason as to how it benefits them. They said, yeah, part of my morning routine is I meditate.
Yeah, because they're just doing what they've been told to do. Like, they're doing what they've been told to do. So, which is, then they are listening. There's different levels, you know, you can sort of then tap into. But it is literally, meditation just helps you tap into the life force within you, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
It's pretty simple. Well, it is simple. We tend to complicate it.
But we've completely overcomplicated it. So just pick up 5 minutes. There's nothing more important you can do in the morning than just sitting down and just centering yourself. You know, sometimes if I don't have time to meditate, I just have, or every morning I have a warm lemon juice and I just sit there, and I've often got my kids with me, and I'll just sit there and I'll just be really present with my hot drink, and I'll say, you know, how can I best show up in the world today? You know, how can I be of greatest service? And it's literally like a 1 minute centering activity changes my day.
I love that. How can I be, what did you say?
How can I best show up in the world today? You know, like how can I be the best of me today in the world? Like, that's what I want to know. How can I do that? So ask the universe for that question at the start of the day, and then amazing things happen, and I think of good things to do and I can go and do them, and it's flowy.
Yeah, it changes your whole outlook.
Totally. And, you know, the other thing we do, the kids and I wake up, the first thing we say to each other is, like, today's going to be a great day. We're going to have the best day ever, you know? So we set the intention for our day. The first thing we say to each other when we wake up, it's amazing. Changes everything.
Yep. Yeah, you'd really have to do that little bit just in the morning to set your intention for the day, and it's amazing how it flows from there.
Yeah.
So I need to ask, how long have you been up for in the morning before you first look at your phone for email or social media?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I have had to put some very, very strict boundaries on myself around this. We actually had a bit of an incident between the kids and I, and I realised that part of the problem was that I was on my phone and in the morning, and it was causing a problem. So I actually had to call rank on myself and put some boundaries in place around that. So
good for you.
I do look at my phone pretty soon after I'm awake, but then I don't look at it again. So I just
Or after the meditation?
So normally before, because
makes me feel better.
It actually depends. Because I check what time it is, and then I just do a quick check of everything, and then I'll get up and start the day, you know, because I know that I've checked it, because I can't.
So can I assume here that you both sleep with your phones in your room?
Yes, I do.
That's my alarm clock.
It's my clock, yes. Yeah. But I probably shouldn't. And part of that as well was the habit that I got into, because I used to listen to these guided apps.
Yeah.
But I don't anymore. I just meditate before I go to bed, but then my phone's next to my bed. But then, it is this force of habit, but I don't look at it after that. I just check there's nothing that needs to be dealt with, because then I can get on the morning with my kids and do all my routine and my habits and rituals, whatever. But, yeah, I just check first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I'm the same. I find I need to check mine first thing just to make sure nothing
there's nothing
that has happened, and then I can put it down and not look again for a couple of hours.
Yeah, because I find then I get into the routine with the kids and I'm able to do that, whereas if I haven't checked, I'm like, oh, God, I hope there's something I haven't missed or whatever. So, but one of the other things is, though, too, like, you know, we talk about this forgiveness and stuff, and you guys know this with how, you know, non-responsive I've been with emails with you guys. Like, email for me is a very low priority, because when we're talking about what we need to do, it's like, okay, I'm just doing the best I can, because I don't have heaps of time to act where I'm actually sitting at my desk. And because I've made this rule, I'm allowed to be on my phone in the morning or after I pick the kids up from school. So that's my rule now with my kids, because they just kept saying to me, stop looking at your phone, mummy. Your boring phone, your stupid phone, you know, like, and I just, this is not okay. But there's a consequence for that, is that I'm never up to date on my emails. Like, I'm days behind all the time. So, you know, but I just have to live with that and accept that, and that's just the way it is.
But
you know?
Stuff gets done anyway, doesn't it?
You know, always gets done.
I mean, the world doesn't stop because of that. And I think that's sort of lacking in our world, that we've become so responsive to so many little things, haven't we?
And do you know another really key thing that I've done as well, which, you know, sometimes I struggle with a little bit, somebody else's deadline is not my deadline.
That's right, yep.
So do you know what I mean? It's like, I can't be constantly responding to somebody when they say they need something by 3 o'clock on Monday when they don't actually need it till Thursday, and I don't have time to do it till Wednesday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's great, they've given me a deadline, but I'm not going to meet it. And I'm not going to feel bad about not meeting it either, you know. So it's actually just that giving myself permission to not be perfect all the time and to not be, you know, this superhero responsive person, because it actually wasn't doing me any favours and it was having a negative impact on my relationship with my kids.
I really believe all deadlines are negotiable.
I totally, you know, and the thing is too, like it totally agree with that. Like I got something in yesterday, Monday, which was actually a week after the deadline, and they were still able to consider it. You know, it was just like, just drop the ball on it, you know, like I'm sorry, but they were still able to consider it, even though they, you know, would have preferred an additional week to consider it. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, well, if they still want to consider it, they'll consider it.
I think it's about keeping the lines of communication open as well.
Definitely.
Like, and and it's just making sure that the person who has set the deadline knows that you're not going to meet it, or knows that you need a delay, or if you create a date and then something happens and you can't do it, it's just letting them know as far in advance as possible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And also too,
until later,
being able to prioritise like what is really truly important as well. You know, like there's some things that, yes, that deadline really matters, and there's other things where there is a lot of give within that deadline, and actually, you know, having enough respect for other people as well, like where they're at and what they're doing as well. So, but yeah, that's one thing for me. Emails are, because also too, they're not something I can outsource. They're things that I need to deal with.
Yeah, myself. That's right.
So, you know, it's just, that is just as it is for the moment. And next year I think will be a bit different because I have both my kids at school, so I'm going to have a bit more time during the day.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just, yeah.
Yep. So we've touched on it a little bit, but do you have a set daily routine?
Yeah, I do. I've got a very, very non-negotiable set routine. So basically get up, I have a warm lemon, often get my kids something to eat. I do this thing called oil pulling, which is where you have oil, like it's coconut oil, it's unrefined, whatever, and I just push it around for like 20 minutes. It's an old Ayurvedic thing, and it basically helps detoxify your body, like the lemon does a little bit as well.
So do you drink your lemon before that?
Yep, so I have lemon first, and then I do that, and then normally while I'm doing my squishing, I have a shower.
Yep.
And then, so we're up very early. My kids get up at about 5:30, quarter to six. So we're very early rising people, and which I actually don't mind because I'm excellent in the morning.
Yeah.
So we get up early. I have a shower, and then I do some exercises. I've got some exercises that I do, and then I'll go and meditate. So I kind of get everyone sorted in the morning, and then I'll go and meditate, because what I found, I was trying to meditate first thing, and it was a friggin' disaster because people were hungry. They wanted to cuddle, you know, and so then I was getting frustrated and stuff. But, you know, I think like a lot of this stuff, you know, people go, oh, this is my five things that I do in the morning and this is the order you have to do them in. Yeah. I think you need to kind of work out what is important to you and be flexible around that and find the way that works for you. So that's what I've found works for me. And then I will meditate for as long as I possibly can. I would like to meditate for 3 hours, but some mornings it's 5 minutes, some minutes 10, some it's 20. It doesn't really matter, but I'll do it for as long as I can or as long as I feel I need to. And then I'll just, you know, get lunches ready and just get people ready and work out what I need for the day and then get stuck into my day. So whatever that is, dropping people off before school care, whatever. And then I'll have to walk, I'll go and record the podcast or go and see a client or whatever. But what I tend to do at the end of the day is that's when I kind of do my consolidation and my planning and my goal setting. If I haven't exercised during the day, I try and exercise in the evenings. If I don't have my kids, I'm like the exercise junkie. I'll go for like walks and runs and bike rides and do whatever I can because I've got the time to do it and I'll work. So normally in the evenings is when I actually kind of sit down and go, okay, well, what do I want to achieve? And, you know, like, and I'll do that a proper, you know, really like a binge, just getting stuck into that session a couple of times a week. And so I find that's good enough. And then every now and again I'll sit down and just during the day, like if I'm working in a coffee shop, and I'll just go, right, what do I want to achieve this week? What do I want to achieve over the next fortnight? What do I want to achieve? You know, so just set myself some goals that are all in alignment with my bigger vision and go from there. And then take lots of action, because I find when I'm taking action in alignment with my goals, that's when you get the random phone calls and awesome stuff starts happening. So, but it's about making sure that everything's kind of operating smoothly and fluidly, and everything that I'm doing is kind of in alignment towards my bigger vision.
If you're looking for voiceover talent, then get in touch with our voiceover guy, Steve Mendel. Steve is also a consultant, coach and presenter, and you can find him via his website, stevemendel.com.au. And that's S-T-E-V-E-M-E-N-D-L. Thanks, Steve.
You wrote a blog post called The Truth About Taking Action.
Yeah.
Can you? What's the truth?
The truth about taking action is you just have to take it because you're going to have fear. Like taking action is not actually necessarily the easy thing to do, you know. It's easier to not take action. It's easier to get stuck in a story, and it's easier to pretend that, you know, you can do it tomorrow, or you're not ready, or you're not good enough, or, you know, you haven't got X, Y, Z together, or somebody's going to think you're a fraud or whatever. But the thing is when you take action, you push through the fear, and that's when, like, amazing things happen. So it's just making sure that the action that you're taking, it's not scattergun. It's kind of focused action, and it feels good. So this is when you're meditating and stuff, and then you think, that's when you get these light bulb ideas. You think, I should ring that person or do that thing, and you take that action. You don't think about it for the next 3 weeks. You just make the phone call, you know, because that's going to open up the next opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. So can you explain to the listeners what the Happiness Hunter is and how that came to be?
Yeah, so the Happiness Hunter is the most beautiful thing ever, and I feel so, like, I can believe it, but that, you know, it sort of has come from me because I meditated, basically, so we've got the Happiness Hunter. But basically, I started doing business consulting and coaching and stuff, and then I separated from my partner and gave up drinking and all this stuff, and I realised I wasn't exercising because I used to do all my exercising on my commute to and from work. Then when my kids were tiny, I used to push them in the pusher and we'd bloody walk for miles, you know. But then I got a little bit bigger, started going to creche, I started my own business, started working, and I literally stopped exercising because there was no time for me to exercise. And then I was like, well, I need to find a way. This is about, you know, having clarity on what we want for our lives. I was like, well, I want to be fit and healthy and a good role model for my kids, so I need to find a way to exercise whilst they're at creche, you know. So that's when I came up with the idea for these walks. And then what sort of happened as I went through this process of really transforming my life, you know, after I left my partner and stopped drinking and all that sort of stuff, kind of found this way that worked because I started studying metaphysics and I started understanding how the universe worked. And so I was guiding people, sort of coaching them through that process. I was running programs on it. It was all kind of still businessy focused. Then I was just kind of started these walks, and so people were coming on it, and then we were just talking about our lives, you know, and our business is just one element of our lives. And I realized it was just about us as human beings in life, trying to be good people, you know, trying to live the best life that we possibly could, trying to make time for the things that are important, trying to be good people, you know, trying to support each other and all that stuff. So the walks have just become this amazing community of people, human beings supporting other human beings, you know, connecting us to each other, to ourselves, to nature in this increasingly disconnected world. And then there's a whole lot of other stuff that's now come off it. So the process that I went through has now become an online program. I run workshops, I do retreats, I do business consulting, and all of it is like underpinned by this Happiness Hunter philosophy, which is basically about, you know, what's the purpose of our lives, really? To be happy and fulfilled and, you know, to be useful and to be good people living good lives.
I love it.
It's so good. And it's becoming, as because I've really gone on my inner guidance on it. I haven't really followed any traditional business strategy on it. I mean, I'm obviously a business strategist, so I understand the process, and I think that's why I've been able to really challenge it and disrupt the business planning process with what I've done, because I'm really trying to create a new kind of business model that actually has service at its heart, you know, idea of community and service. It's not, we become philanthropic once we've made money. It's like, how do we build, you know, hugely successful, viable, profitable businesses that actually are just all they do is add value?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really important. Mm. And in the meantime, feel good about what you're doing and feel good about yourself.
Yeah, and encourage everyone to be happy. Yeah. Like, yeah. What's the purpose of your life, going to work and earning money to pay a mortgage? Like, how is that? How is that an acceptable way to be living? And I really, like, I have this real drive, you know. I really want to start challenging some of the assumptions that we have about what successful life is and, you know, what makes us, gives us meaning in our lives and what the purpose of work is and all of that stuff. And, you know, part of this happened because I couldn't get a job, you know. So I got this amazing work experience, really good qualifications, and I just wanted to re-enter the workforce part-time. in a meaningful capacity as a single parent. I didn't want to work full time. There's no jobs for me. There's no jobs for women like me. I'm like, what is going on in our society that I can't get work?
I know, that's crazy, isn't it?
And I don't mean that from a place of being a victim. It's like, what is actually going on in the structure of our work environment that I can't go and work part-time because nobody wants a part-time worker, but I've got all this amazing stuff that I can offer.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I've gone out and done something of heaps better, but, you know, it's not everybody's able to do this. And, like, my kid's dad, he works in construction. We've separated. We've got a really good relationship now. He hasn't been to... He didn't go to first day of school. He didn't go to kinder concert. Mm. He never does school drop-offs or pick-ups because he can't ask for time off because he's not allowed. Like, he's scared he's going to lose his job.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here?
And that's just so common.
And we accept it. We're sitting here going, yeah, he can't go because he's got to work. Like, what's the actual hell?
But, you know, I've got a girlfriend who a few years ago started her own recruitment consultancy, and the whole idea behind it was to find part-time jobs for mostly women who wanted to go back to work after having children or who just had, you know, better things in life to do than work full-time and wanted to work part-time. And she had more candidates than she had ever imagined, but she couldn't get any jobs.
No,
because there were no employers that were prepared to offer part-time or job share arrangements.
No. Mm-hmm. So I have, like, part of my mission, I have, there's many, many, many angles to my mission, but part of my mission is to actually really start at a very, very high level having a proper discussion about this. Because it's not about work-life balance. It's not about creating pretend part-time jobs. It's actually about, like, what, you know, we've got Skype, we've got the internet, we've got mobile phones. Like, why can't we find ways to engineer more flexibility into the corporate space? Because it's not working. It's actually not working anymore. So, but we're not doing anything about it. Everyone's kind of accepting it, that this is the way it has to be, because we've got these massive mortgages, we've got offenses to this school. And so there's no values in any of it. And we need to start really thinking about what are our values as a society, what are our values as individuals, and how do we actually create the environment that supports those, not us trying to squash ourselves into what is existing, because it's not human, it's systemic. We need to become human in this world.
I find it interesting that you say work-life balance.
Because I hate it.
I actually don't believe in work-life balance.
No.
I believe in life integration. And
everything
that you do in life needs to integrate into everything else that you do in life.
Yeah.
And whether you have a traditional job or whether you've got kids or whether you work for yourself or whether you're single, it really doesn't matter. Everybody has things that they love in life and everybody has things that they need to do, such as earn an income.
Yeah.
And the more that you can get that to work, I guess, in parallel with everything else in your life, then the happier we'll be as a society.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is also too, like, this idea of life integration can only exist when you know what you want for your life and who you want to be in your life and how you want to be in your life. So you've got to understand your drivers and your values and your visions, and then you build a life, create a life around that that's put in everything that you're doing is supportive of that, rather than you going, well, this is my job and I have to kind of squash myself into it. This is my relationship and I have to squash myself into it. You know, it's like, actually, how do I build the family I want to live in?
My partner and I are facing a different kind of year next year, and we're in a place of, well, what's next sort of thing for our careers and lifestyle in general. And I suggested to him, you know, why don't we find somewhere that we would absolutely love to live and find something that we absolutely love to do and do that. And it was a whole different concept to him, a whole different concept, rather than, oh, no, this is what we're going to do to earn money.
Yes.
And then, you know, just slug it out.
Yeah, until you die.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, too, mainstream media has us believing that, you know, if we buy this car or this refrigerator or whatever, we'll feel better. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. And this is part of the problem, is that we're seeking external validation for everything that we're doing, and we're not actually tapping into, you know, who we are, like ourselves, and, you know, that we're actually the only ones that can fulfill ourselves.
Damn those marketing consultants.
You know what I meant.
I do.
I don't think I've ever worked for a client or had a job where I've had to sell something based on a value that isn't true aligned to what that product is. Because I just don't like that kind of marketing. I like, you know, promoting warm and fuzzy stuff.
And so that's what you kind of attract, and that's what you can do.
Very true.
So how do you think a person determines whether they're happy or not with their life? What's a good yardstick? Or what, maybe to mix it up a little bit as well, what are some of the drivers for happiness that people have shared with you?
Well, I think this part of the thing is you have to be really honest with yourself. You know, like people can say, yeah, I'm happy, everything's great. They're actually not. So I think you actually really have to get really honest with yourself and, you know, how you feel you are tracking across your life, you know, and where there are the gaps and, you know, understanding where you want to be and then understanding what the gaps are and what you actually need to do to bridge those gaps, you know, and what your priorities are, because you obviously can't change everything in one red hot minute. But the first, you know, it's actually just about getting that awareness and then, you know, accepting where you are, but then like looking for all the good things that you've got in your life. Because I think we're so focused on lack in everything that we do. Well, we don't have this, or I haven't got that, or this, I'll be happy when this arrives, or whatever. But we're never, ever appreciative of what we've actually got.
Yeah, that's so true. We're always striving for something else.
What's that? Where's there?
Yeah,
where's exactly. The light? You know, like it's actually about finding to how to be at peace in this moment now with whatever this moment has got for you, you know.
I think that's happiness. I think it's also looking at how do you measure success?
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved to Queensland nearly 16 years ago, and I said to my family and various friends that I was moving up to Brisbane, and I was quite shocked by a couple of people who said to me, oh, that's a strange choice. You'll never earn as much money in Brisbane as you could earn in Sydney.
Because that's the only measure of success.
Yeah. And I thought, but it's not about the money. It's about a better quality of life.
Yeah.
And I earn a lot of money in Sydney and I work 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I don't get to use it because I don't have time to go anywhere.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's about, well, what is important to you. So, you know, flexibility is important to me. My health is important to me. I mean, obviously, abundance is important to me, but abundance in all its forms. But abundance on its own, without, you know, beautiful, loving relationships and meaningful work and good health, and like, what's the point? So it's actually understanding, yes, it is, that is an element of our life that, you know, it determines our success. But if we are measuring, and this is what we do, the kind of house we live in, the kind of holidays we have, how much money we've got in the bank, how much, all blah, 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 that most of our measures of success are purely materialistic. And my mission, I suppose, is to really help people, you know, consider success as about, you know, being a good person and living a good life, you know.
So if you have a client that comes to you and says, I'm really unhappy with my life, I've got a partner, I've got two kids, I've got a big mortgage, I have to earn this much money a year to be able to cover all of our expenses, my kids are at private school, but I don't want to be on this roundabout because I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest to them?
Well, firstly, you have to take responsibility for where you are, that you're there because you've made all the decisions to get yourself there.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they kind of have, because they've come to speak to you.
Acknowledge it and take responsibility for it. It's nobody else's situation. You know, like it's actually you're there because you put yourself there, you know. And I obviously had this experience from a very negative way, but it's like, you know, you've always got choices, always have got choices. So it's actually really getting clear on, you know, what your drivers are in life, like why you're living your life, what your why, you know, your values and your vision for what you actually want for your life. And when you're really honest with yourself, and you can actually look at what your current reality versus your desired reality and actually go, well, where is the mismatch? And then you make some decisions and choices about how you can actually change where you are now in this moment to move you closer to where you want to be in terms of decisions that you want to make and, you know, where you could cut expenses and, you know, what sort of job do you actually want to be doing. It's all very well and good to say you don't like your job, but what do you actually want to be doing? You know, you've got a vision what you want, not focus on what you don't want. And I think this is what we're doing all the time, is we say, well, I'm not happy because of this, this and this. It's like, yeah, but what do you want? I don't know. So until you know what that happy state is or that desired state is, it's very hard to shift from where you are. And as soon as you have clarity on what that thing is and where you want to be and how you want to be, decision-making, I cannot tell you how easy it becomes. It's like simple.
Yep. I think getting back to that whole ego state again, it's that battle of the wills, for want of a better word. Oh, this is what I'd really like. Oh, well, you can't have that because blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, our ego is very, very quick to jump in and tell us all the reason why we can't rather than why we
can. So you need to have the tools in place to actually override the ego.
Exactly.
That's the work.
Are there any simple tools?
Well, there's gratitude. There's meditation, there's acceptance, there's gratitude and forgiveness. They're a really good starting point. And, you know, just accepting where you are and who you are and how you are, and that accepting that you're, if you want to change it, you're actually the only one that can do that.
Exactly. And I think I think that is
we're both nodding.
I wish there was a silver bullet. Like, I really wish I could say to you there is a silver bullet, but there's not. It's actually about making the choice in every single moment of your life about how you want to be in your life.
And you've mentioned this a few times, is that responsibility.
Yep.
Responding ably to life and then making those choices. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. And you know, becoming very empowered in the direction your life is taking. And once you do, once you truly start living like that, it's liberating and it's freedom.
So, Fiona, you're a busy business owner and podcaster and have a lot going on in your personal life as well. Do you have any apps or resources that you can, that you use, that you want to share with our listeners?
You know, probably the most useful app or whatever that I use is actually Google Calendars.
Okay.
Because I colour code it.
Love it.
I'm not joking. So I can look at my day and go, kids, me, podcast, client, did it walk, whatever. I can look at it and I can see what my day is without actually having to even look at what anything is. I know what my day holds. And what also makes me do when I'm booking stuff in, I can actually, like, spread stuff so I'm not kind of completely bogged down and overwhelmed in one thing for too long. But that's probably, like, I don't use actually a lot of, I use, like, all the apps like MailChimp and I've got Evernote. Do you know what else we use as well? Because I do the walks, and for all the booking system I use Eventbrite, and they've got Eventbrite Neon where you can check people in. Amazing.
Okay. I love that.
It's called Neon. Okay. So then basically all it is just like a checking in booking system. So basically then I get all my walk leaders, they've all downloaded the app and they can check in people on the walk. So that system is pretty much automated. Amazing.
Great. Very good.
What else do I use? I reckon Google is probably my Google Calendars. I know it's so basic, but it really helps my life.
Basic's always good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. It doesn't need to be overcomplicated.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So do you have any big goals for the next 12 months? Like, where do you see yourself this time next year?
Look, the walks will be national.
Ooh.
Podcast. There's going to be some big stuff happening with the podcast in terms of taking that offline. So we've got, I mean, we have set a very big strategy with that. And I think also too, I've started speaking a lot more. I think there's going to be some really, really, really good speaking opportunities next year. And also too, I'll probably at this stage be releasing a book.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah, so I've got heaps of stuff, like lots of exciting stuff happening. Yeah.
Will that all be related to the Happiness Hunter? Your speaking?
Yeah, I think so. But look, you know, like as you guys have probably discovered as well, the podcast just opens a masses of doors.
Yeah, it does.
So, but yeah, I think that the book is actually going to be sort of, I think, about my experience and in the context of all the philosophy basically of the Happiness Hunter and all the work that I do with the boot camps and the walks and all of that stuff as well. So, yeah, that's kind of, I'm just framing that at the moment. That's exciting. So, but you know, like I tend to work on inspiration a lot more. Like I'll be very, very focused for periods of time and I'll get like Herculean efforts of work done. I find that's better than just chipping away a bit a day. So for me personally, that's how I operate.
So how do you focus personally? Like, what do you say to yourself, and do you have a kind of a little ritual that you get yourself into?
Do you know, it's funny. It's like I feel this pull to do something and I just sit down and I can do it, and I can just do it for hours and hours and hours and hours, but I've got to be absolutely ready to do it.
Yep.
So by doing all my good stuff, my exercising and seeing my clients and doing my, then when something is ready to be birthed, it is birthed.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm not like that at all.
Aren't you?
No.
Oh, no. I so get, like, if I.
I really wish I was.
If I have to do like reconciliation of my bank accounts, which I have to do for my businesses, I have to feel like doing, I can sit down and do those until. Mm-hmm.
But then when you do it, you just do it. Like,
exactly,
it's so,
and it's so easy. Like,
yeah, so that's how I pretty much do everything in my life. Yeah. Nothing I ever do is really a chore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So would that be your top tip to get stuff done? Just do it?
Just do it. Yeah. Just do it, yeah. Like, just you actually, like, yeah, like, you know, with the reconciliation, like, there's stuff you just sometimes have to sit down and do. Mm.
Yeah, your tax.
For example.
Hanging over my head.
I make sure I'm in a really good space to do that. So I've been for a walk and I'm sitting at my favourite cafe and, you know, like, I just create the environment that's pleasant for me to do shit jobs in. Yeah. So it's not a shit job.
Yeah. I just crank up the music.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't do at the moment because I killed my iPod last week. Anyway, well, that's about it from us. Thank you very, very much.
My absolute pleasure.
I reckon we could have chatted for hours.
Yeah, I know.
We've only gone through half our questions, but we're running out of time, so we'll have to have you back.
I'll come on another time. Yeah. But it was really nice to speak to you both. Thank you both very much for having me on the podcast, and all the best with it.
Thank you. Just before we go, where can our listeners find you, and what's the best way for them to connect with you?
So they can find me at thehappinesshunter.com, or they can find me at businessaddicts.com. And the best way to connect with me is probably via email at hello@thehappinesshunter.com.
And just don't expect a reply for 3 days.
I was going to say on that, maybe try me on Twitter at thehappyhunter, which is at @thehappyhunter, which is probably going to be better. quick response. But if you've got a good question for me, I'm happy to answer it on email, but just, don't expect an immediate response.
Excellent.
Thank you. Fair enough.
Great.
Awesome. Well, thanks, girls.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Activity Pod. Continue the conversation over at theactivitypod.com, where you'll find the show notes and all the other fantastic episodes, together with links to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivitypod, or tweet us at @theactivitypod, where you'll find Annette and Mel every day. Theactivitypod.com is also a place where you can connect with Annette and Mel directly. Thanks for joining us today as we find better ways to help you focus, become more productive, and get stuff done so that you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want from life. We'd love you to join us in our next episode, where we look forward to helping you with accountability so that you can get stuff done.